Welcome to Everything Belongs, a podcast for those living, creating, leading, and thriving while in the deep end of life. I'm your host, Madison Morgan, leadership coach, creative consultant, and speaker. I coach soulful visionaries and go-getting mavericks who desire to create art of their lives and take their work both deeper and higher. In this show, I'll be bringing you an overflow of conversations with my favorite thought leaders, teachers, healers, and creatives who inspire me to live more fully in my own power, worth, and wholeness, along with offering some episodes where I share my own practical insights, behind-the-scenes peeks into my process, and tools I use on my own journey. There will not be much we shy away from here because at this table, everything belongs. Therefore, you can expect me to ask the uncomfortable, juicy questions. You can expect that you'll hear people you disagree with on the podcast and maybe even ideas you've never previously considered. I trust you with your own discernment as we take this deep dive. You can expect to laugh, cry, learn, and be challenged by the guests as they share their diverse experiences and views of the world. It's my hope through learning to see that all of it belongs that you will develop a more sovereign way of holding yourself so you can playfully go after the life, relationships, and career you are made for, to let all parts of yourself have a seat at the table, to lead and create from your deepest truth and become your own source of validation, all because you finally know you're worthy of it. All that's required to get started, that you show up curious and willing. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, I am so happy to be here with you on the final episode of 2021 with Erin Claire Jones. And if you're not familiar with Erin, she is a beautiful human design educator who helps thousands of individuals and companies step into their work and lives as their truest self and in their highest potential. Her work as a guide, coach, and speaker has attracted a growing community over 120,000 people. And many of you might even follow her on Instagram because of how practical the tools, digestible tips, and the way that she helps people have a deeper self-knowledge that really is approachable, I think, for anyone to understand, even if you've never heard of human design before. So her work has been featured in Forbes and Well and Good, Mind Body Green, Nylon, and she's been on so many podcasts. Obviously, including Everything Belongs. I'm so happy to have her on the show. She sent me a personal human design blueprint reading for my chart after this conversation as a surprise for me. And it was so thorough, so in-depth, over 60 pages long. And I read it and then I shared it with my friends because I felt like it was so deep and it offered so many insights to my human design that I hadn't heard before. You know, I've been interested in human design for a couple years. I've had a number of readings. I have a couple books on it. And I still felt like her blueprint, which is the most simple way to get a reading from Erin on your human design, was so in depth. And I'm actually very excited because Erin has offered this community a discount code for a blueprint yourself. So if you're listening and you seem interested in this after you've listened to the show, go to her website and use the code EVERYTHINGBELONGS in all lowercase, one word, to get a discount on your own human design blueprint from Erin. And so in this conversation today, we dive into a deeper layer of human design. First, obviously, we talk about what it is, what its origins are. We talk about how Erin began and expanded into human design. It was not always her path and it wasn't what she thought she was going to do with her life. So we talk a little bit about her journey with that. We talk about what it means to be a single and split or quadruple definition. We talk about Erin's recommendation for an entry point into looking at your human design chart, a brief rundown of all the human design types. She shares a little bit about what it means to be a generator and to use generator energy. We go off on that a little bit because it's actually my energetic type. We talk about being in the shadow, sensitivity, and the wisdom of each of our centers. Erin shares her insights around my chart, including the G center and open throat, which you'll hear what that means in the episode. Erin also brings something to the table that I thought was super interesting, which is the conscious and unconscious sides of our human design charts. And so if you are curious about your chart, you actually don't have to pay Erin or anyone to get a basic overview and look at your chart. You can go to humandesignblueprint.com and generate your chart and just be able to look at it while you're listening to the episode if you want to do that. It will be really helpful, I think, as we talk about certain elements in the charts and in each individual's chart to know what your own profile is as she breaks down what it means. So if you want to go to humandesignblueprint.com to get a generated chart of your own, and then if you really enjoyed the episode, you can actually get a blueprint read from Erin herself. So I'm super excited for you to listen to this episode. Again, I found the blueprint Erin created for me after listening to the show and doing this conversation to be super impactful, very practical, and just of huge value to my life and to my relationships already. So I'm excited for you to listen to this episode. Of course, please let me know what you love about it. If you want to tag Erin and I on your social media, share your chart, share your human design type, I would love to see more. Well, without further ado, let's dive into this episode with Erin Claire Jones. Erin, I'm so grateful to have you on the show, and I really looked forward to meeting you for quite some time. So thank you for being here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I was so looking forward to meeting you too.
So many people who listen probably also follow you on Instagram. You teach human design and you support people to have really practical tools to bring it into their life. And this is a really woo-woo out there concept, maybe for those who don't know about what it is. So can you give us the rundown of what is human design if you've never heard of it, and maybe something interesting of like where those of us who've heard of it don't really know about where it actually comes from?
Yes, of course. So human design is a system based on your exact time, date, and place of birth that really reveals your energetic blueprint. And what I mean by that is how you're uniquely wired to make decisions, work within teams, collaborate, parent, partner, all the things. More than anything else, it gives us a roadmap to how we're designed to work at our best. In terms of where it comes from, it has a very mystical origin. It's been around since 1987. The founder's name was Ra Uhuruhu. He's no longer alive. But he basically had a very mystical experience where he was walking home one day in Ibiza and heard a voice. And the voice said, it's time to work. And for basically 8 days and eight nights, he channeled the system and he just received all this information. And the way that he received it was very much, you know, this is the first system of its kind. It pulls together astrology, the Kabbalah, the I Ching, like everything in a kind of one system to kind of give you a blueprint to how you're designed to operate at your best. And then he spent the next 20 years building it out. And I would say it probably isn't until the last 3 years that I really kind of seen it go out into the world in a much broader way. But because I do work with so many skeptical people, I think that I just want to remind people that I'm never trying to convince people of anything. Like, I think take what feels resonant, supportive, useful, throw the rest away. And like, more than anything else, I see it as a tool that really can help us, you know, that gives us a common language to how we operate. So just kind of remembering that it's not about whether it's true, but more about whether it's useful.
I love that so much because I personally love mystical things. Like
me too.
In general, I'm like deep diving in those areas, but I understand that there's caution around them for many people. And So just saying like at the very top of this, like, this is interesting. And if you're curious, stick around and like take what you want and leave the rest.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that. And I also just think that it doesn't alienate people. Like, I think especially when I've gone into work with teams, like when I present it that way, they're just like, okay, like tell me, you know, and then they'll hear it and they're like, okay, everything's really resonating. So tell me more, you know? So I just think it's like, we get to choose how to engage with it. But I think reminding people that like, if it doesn't feel supportive or useful, then like, let it go. You know, it's really up to you.
Totally. So I'm curious how you got introduced to human design, because you've built a really beautiful business and people seem to be getting so much out of what you share on Instagram and then through your blueprints. And I'm sure you just said with teams, like you're working with people on many different levels at many different pay levels as well. So it's incredibly accessible. You're sharing so much for free, but like, I want to know why you created an entire business around this. Like, why did you see it as that valuable?
I know, it was so not the plan. I don't know if it ever could have been, but I was introduced to human design very serendipitously. I was in New York City and basically in 2015 was at a gathering in my friend's backyard and sat next to a stranger. And he was like, I would love to look up your human design. I was like, tell me everything about myself. Like I never heard about it. And he gave me this mini reading on the spot. And it was like equal parts validating and confronting. I was like, you've given me a language for everything I've always felt, but I also am like not really living any of it. And he ended that conversation by being like, and I think that you're meant to do this. And I think that we should build a business together. And like, I was just like, whoa, what, you know? And I ended up actually saying yes, not immediately, but he had been studying human design for a decade. And so he was my first teacher, very explicitly invited me into human design. It was at a time that no one knew what I was talking about. It was even more out there than it is now. And we built a business specifically oriented around bringing human design to businesses. And then I launched my own practice in 2017, 2018. And now my fiance is my business partner. And it's broadened beyond businesses to kind of just supporting individuals. And I think with regards to the question of why human design, I think that I had explored many different modalities in the past. I'd done many different certifications, mostly because like I love learning and like I'm fascinated by people. I think human design felt more practical than anything else I'd found. You know, I think that I love the mystical like you, but also like, I think the fact that it like comes from the stars, that the information itself is so grounded and so practical, like I was just totally sold because I saw its applications on so many levels, individually, in relationships, in teams, all of it. And it was so interesting because when I first started sharing, it was really so out there. No one had any idea what I was talking about. And so it feels so fun to share about it now when more people are interested in human design. But it's been a real journey because that was definitely not the case when I started.
I'm super curious now to know what your profile is and what your authority is. And like, can you just give us a rundown of your chart if you're open to sharing like your yes came after being introduced to this? That's super interesting.
100%. So I'm a projector. So I'm here to be invited into things. And so my partner, my former business partner, was a manifesting generator. And so he had this kind of immediate gut response towards me and my chart and was like, we've got to do this. And so, but that invitation came and it wasn't immediate. You know, I'm also an emotional authority. And so like it came like maybe a month or two later, like, which is not going to be true for most emotional authorities. It could come in a day or two, but it really like, I took some time to feel into it. And when I discovered, I'm a 6-2 profile and the sixes, if you have a six in your profile, it basically means that you live your life in three phases where the first 30 years is meant to be a time of like tremendous trial and error. It's not a time to make huge commitments. 30 to 50 is kind of a time of more stability, investing in what works. And 50 is when you're meant to hit your prime. And it was so funny because I was 25 and my business partner was 50. So we were like in opposite phases. And when we first met, he's like, this is not a good idea to partner with you now because you're in like the most experimental phase of your life. And I was like, no, I'm in it. Like we're in this for life. And I was in an experimental phase, you know, and like I did evolve from it. So it was so interesting looking back where like we just knew and I didn't really trust it. So yeah. And then I'm split definition and very defined as a projector. I just have two open centers.
I'm super curious. So people who are listening, they just heard you say a lot of words.
I know.
And so I want to just let everyone know that we're going to kind of go into what those things are and define them. So if anyone's feeling a little bit lost or like, whoa, what did she just say? I've been like dabbling for a couple of years now. And, you know, I've messaged you on Instagram. Like I know a little bit about my heart, just out of curiosity for what does it mean to be split defined? I know I'm single definition and I'm kind of confused about that. Could you explain for you what split definition means?
Yeah. So our definition is, so there are, as we'll discover, there are so many layers to our design. Our definition speaks to how we best process information. So for you as a single definition, it means that you're very naturally independent. Even though you're meant to sleep on things, like you might find that you can process things pretty well on your own. You don't need to be around other people. And you might also find that you really desire to like be in your own independent flow regularly and that you feel like your independence is really honored by your partner and the people around you. And there's a very natural sense of wholeness within you. If you're a split definition like me, it means that so much wholeness comes when we're around other people. And so on a more practical level, like when I feel stuck, being around other people's energy is so useful. Like I'll go work from a coffee shop or co-working space or I'll be with my partner. But it's just like being around others kind of creates so many new activations and clarity within me. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes so much sense. My partner and I are both single definition.
Beautiful thing to share.
And so I'm like, okay, I thought it was just like, you just process information quickly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's true. But that makes a lot more sense that we don't maybe need to be around someone else to have that clarity come. Whereas 100%. Like, there's like a quadruple split, right? That a lot more people time.
It's more that they just need a lot more time. Like they really kind of need time to digest. But if you're a quadruple split, it's actually more around moving at your own pace and not adapting to other people. Yeah. So there are like so many different fun layers in there, but I think that like the definition piece and how we process, I think is really revealing in partnership, because you can imagine you have a split definition and a single definition. One's really independent. One is like seeking more collaboration. And it's just like, oh, we're different here. You know, how can we honor our differences and not expect similarity?
I love that so much, because the more I have like all of my friends and all of their children, all of their charts saved in my phone. In general, I'm pretty good at memorizing like all of those sorts of things, like all my friends' astrology and their Chiron and like all of that stuff. And I find these systems to be so interesting because I keep learning how unique everyone is, and to not expect anyone to be how I am, especially I'm a 4-1 and apparently I'm like kind of stuck this way. And I'm realizing that not everyone is like that. And that's been super helpful for me to like, almost like forgive everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that so much resistance comes and misunderstanding comes when we kind of want others to be similar to us or different than what they are. And I think whether it's in our work relationships or our romantic partners or our kids, I think there's so much more compassion and understanding to be like, you're totally different. How can I learn how to support you? And I love the like idea of just like blank slate. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not going to assume anything. Like, let's just learn. So I actually find that when we really take the time to kind of understand how different we are, it brings us so much closer together. So I'm so glad that you have all those charts in your phone, because like, it's just so cool to understand the people close to you.
Yeah. So I would love to know, for everyone listening, we kind of talked about like there's many layers and I kind of dove into split definition because I was curious, but I know that's not the first layer. I know.
Not, but it's a fun one.
Yeah. It's a fun one. So could you give us that place where if someone is curious about understanding themselves and other people in their lives, that entry point, that would be the best place to begin?
So the best place to begin is your type, because your type will speak to how you best use your energy and also how you're designed to create the most aligned opportunities for yourself. Do you want me to go over the types briefly?
I would love that.
Okay, great. So we can include a link in the show notes, but you can look it up at erinclairejones.com/lookup. And so there are 5 different types: generators, manifesting generators, projectors, reflectors, and manifestors. Do you know what type your partner is?
She's a manifesting generator.
Okay, cool. So manifesting generators and generators. So you're a generator. Manifesting generators and generators are really here to be the kind of the doers, the builders, the creators, the ones that really have the energy and the life force to kind of build and create and make things happen. An ideal day for you might look like one where you wake up energized and excited. You spend your day kind of doing things that feel deeply satisfying to you, whether it's what you're creating or who you're spending time with. And you drop into bed satisfied and fulfilled and kind of wake up energized. And one of the biggest lessons for both you and your partner is around prioritizing your own excitement, your own satisfaction. And knowing the more like lit up you are by what you're doing, the more magnetic you become, the more energy that you have. But often these people are kind of trapped doing things they don't really enjoy because they think that they should. And they often see prioritizing their own satisfaction as selfish, when it's actually like the most important thing you can do to kind of have the biggest impact in the world. And also, one of the biggest lessons for you is boundaries. You know, because you have such natural vitality and energy and life force, people can really want to use it and take advantage of it. And like for you, really trusting that the things you're excited by are the things that are right for you. And for manifesting generators specifically, so for your partner, these people are often more multi-passionate by nature. They might like having their energy in a lot of things at once. Their gift is moving fast, pivoting, trying things on, letting things go. So really kind of giving themselves that permission. And generators are more about kind of like mastery and this like kind of very steadfast nature, but the types are very similar. So if you kind of resonate with one or the other, totally normal. The last piece that I would share, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts before we move on, is that your strategy in human design and the strategy for both of these types is around letting things come to you. You are not meant to like sit and just like come up with something out of thin air. Like you are here to be doing things you're lit up by and seeing what shows up in your world that excites you. And once you get lit up by something, that's kind of the perfect time to kind of go after that thing and make it happen. So noticing where you're trusting your magnetism versus where you're chasing after and initiating.
Well, that is very revealing to me. Because, well, first of all, I know that generators are like, I've heard they're like the workers, if you will, and they generate energy. And I do notice that I attract things to me when I'm in that flow.
Yeah.
And also see those burnout points where I've done the things I'm supposed to be doing because they've worked in the past, or other people told me I should, or this is what business is supposed to look like, or whatever it is. And I'm like, I know this makes the most sense, but like, I physically cannot do this. And I've noticed even my body will, if I go too long in one direction, like my body will be like, yeah, I said lay the fuck down. Like my body will say no. And even just the boundaries piece, I like my first online program was a boundaries course. Because I'm like, I just feel like people are sourcing from me. And then when I learned about human design, I was like, oh, they are in an interesting way. But I do think it's funny because my thought is like, well, who wouldn't want to wake up and feel energized and do things that satisfy them and go to bed feeling satisfied? Mm-hmm. And so isn't that in some way what everyone wants? Or is that just my projection as a generator?
I think that it is really great for all of us to wake up excited 100%. I don't think all of us have the same need to use up our energy. Like for you, if you were to not use up your energy, or if you were to use it up in ways that weren't very satisfying, you'd probably go to bed and feel like quite restless or really depleted in like an unhealthy way. And it's actually by using up your energy and kind of using up this like natural resource that you carry that you're actually able to like sleep well at night. And so I think that's kind of the difference of like, for you, it is you're designed to use up your energy. And that's what actually creates so much kind of satisfaction, fulfillment, and also the ability for kind of true and deep rest.
Yeah, that really lands. I observe there are seasons where I'm doing things that like, I don't want to do. And I don't sleep well.
No, I know. And even
fascinating.
It's so fascinating. And it's just like, and it's, I even had a client a couple of years ago and she was so funny. She would like, before she went to bed, she sometimes would ask her partner to like wrestle with her, where she was like, I just have some excess energy. Like, help me get it out, you know, before I go to bed. And I just like love that example because it is so real, you know, it's actually what allows you to sleep well. So then we've got projectors. So projectors are really here to be, and I know that I mentioned earlier that I'm a projector, that these people are really here to be leaders, guides, advisors, teachers, not here to do all the doing. As projectors, we often love systems, anything that kind of helps us better understand people. You know, our energy is probably going to naturally ebb and flow. And so you're not really designed to do all day long. You might find that you've got bursts where you can make things happen and they need to kind of take rest. I think one of our biggest shadows as projectors is being super overzealous and trying to keep up with everyone around us. And so really kind of giving yourself permission to do it differently. And, you know, projectors' wisdom is so much around other people and how they can use their energy best. And so often make really natural coaches, leaders, managers, CEOs. The strategy for projectors is waiting to be recognized and invited in, you know, so knowing that your way of seeing things is very valuable and really kind of working with and being intimate with those that deeply see you and value you. If you're brought into something and expected to operate like a generator, it could burn you out quite quickly. And I think the last piece that I would share is that when I first discovered this, I was like, how do I build a business? You know, this feels like so passive. And I learned that so much of my job as a projector is to make myself visible. So to kind of share myself in a really authentic way and let the right people resonate, you know? And so for me, that's come through Instagram and newsletters and podcasts, and just making myself visible so the right invitations can come. Clear?
It's clear. And I'm also, I find this overlap between generators and projectors and that there's a waiting, it seems.
Oh yeah.
And so for the generators, is it waiting for something from the inside to inspire? But for projectors, it's just doing what they, their thing that they do until someone invites them. So it's a different orientation to waiting.
So when you're waiting as a projector, it's a beautiful time to kind of master whatever you feel drawn to and also think about ways to put yourself out there. But you're here to wait to be invited in. So for someone to be like, hey, Erin, like, I want you to work with me on this. Or like, hey, Erin, will you be on my podcast? Like, I need someone to be like, invite me. For you, you're just waiting for something to spark you. You know, you could be on Instagram, you're like, they look amazing. I want to reach out to them, you know, or like you're out in the world, you're like, this is so cool. I'm going to like make this thing happen. So you're just like waiting for something to show up in your world that sparks you and kind of lights you up. And in the waiting period for you, it's like staying busy doing things that you love, because that will help magnetize more of those aligned things to you.
Yeah, that difference feels really true. Like in general, it's like whenever I invite anyone onto the podcast, for example, it's because like something pings and it's not this long list of people that like, I do have a list of people I would love to have on the show, but in general, I don't go to that list and go in any specific order. It's whenever I feel inspired at this random moment. It feels random at least.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Which is so often when you'll probably find so much more flow, you know, because you really are operating based on response and your strategy is waiting to respond, like waiting for that gut to kind of light up within you.
Okay.
Then we've got manifestors and then reflectors. So manifestors are really here to be the initiators, the innovators, the ones that are here to get things started, get the ball rolling, not always here to do all the doing themselves, but often here to kind of get things off the ground. Manifestors tend to really value freedom and autonomy and control. They're really not here to be told what to do or manage or guided in any way. here to do things on their own terms and in their own way. Their energy will also often operate in spurts, where they might have a burst where they can make a lot happen and then need kind of rest and space and time alone. And they're very innovative. Like, they're really here to see things before a lot of people do and really kind of trusting themselves enough to like be the first and carve a new path and do things differently. So many manifestors I've worked with haven't really felt permission to be as powerful as they are. So it can take some like time to step into that. And their strategy is about initiating. When they feel an urge to make something happen, to just go do it, you know, not waiting for actually anything to show up or come to them. And then we've got reflectors. Yeah. So reflectors are our collective mirrors, people that are deeply sensitive to their physical space and always kind of taking in and magnifying the energy that they're around. And so you get a really good sense of how a community is doing or a team is doing just by how their reflector is showing up. So it's important for them to be such ruthless curators of the people they're spending time with and the places they're spending time in. The magic of reflectors is in their fluidity, meaning that they might have periods where they feel like a generator, like a manifesting generator, like a projector, like a manifester. And their job is not to show up in just one way or be just one thing, but honor whatever feels authentic to them that day. And we call them evaluators in the context of business, just because they see and sense things that so many people don't. And so it's really good for them to be in environments where their perspective feels really invited in and treasured.
I have never heard that take on reflectors getting to have almost a different energy type depending on the environment they're in, what's required.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
It is so interesting, and it can be confusing for them at first because they're just like, or if they're working and they're like, I had one week where I could make things happen so quickly, and the next week I like don't want to do anything, you know. And it's just like, for them, it's not seeing inconsistency as a flaw, but as just like a reflection of the fact that their energy will ebb and flow, and also how they express will ebb and flow. Like, they might even find that like in different spaces, like different parts of them are pulled out, which is why it's so important for them to be in spaces that feel good, because those will kind of pull out the most aligned expressions of them.
I love that. I have a reflector previous client and a reflector friend. And I'm always like, whenever it's actually his birthday this week, and I've been thinking like, I wonder how he's doing, because I know he was in a work environment that was really not supportive and it was affecting him in such a real way. And he just got a new job, so I'm very, very thankful. So for hopefully this shift, but understanding that is so helpful. I'm actually really curious. So if someone's like looking at their graph, which I'm actually going to put a link to your website and all that in the beginning of the show, so people can hopefully do that in advance to listening. Yeah. But it's like all white, all undefined. And I'm curious if you know why undefined has its own energy type, but completely defined does not.
So I think that in general, like, so when the areas are undefined in our design, it's the areas that we are the most open and sensitive to other people's energy. And so if somebody has every single center open, they are reflector, because there's not a consistent definition, not a consistent design. They are all of it, you know? And so, and the thing is that based on the centers that we have defined and how they're connected, that will define our type. And so you could have every single center defined and be a generator or a manifesting generator, you know? And so in some ways it does define your type, because you will inevitably want to be one of those things, but like, it's all about how they're connected. So I don't know if that's really like a clear answer to your question. But I think that it is the only time when you'll just like, it's totally based on the centers, will be if it's just like all wide and open.
Yeah. I would love to hear you talk about a little bit about the defined and undefined centers. I had a reading done maybe a couple years ago, maybe a year ago. And it gave me such permission, because she was like, you're not here to be spontaneous. And I had always felt so boring. Like, I just was like, and I would try to force myself to do like certain things that were, it seemed like people just did all these adventurous things and they pick up and go. And I have these very amazing, brilliant, independent friends. And I always thought, because I wasn't wanting to get up and travel and do all this, lots of moving about, that I was boring or not independent. And then she was like, no, your spleen is just completely open. And now I'm really trying to understand like, oh, that openness has a different energy. And so that's just one tiny area, but could you explain these like parts of us that may experience life differently dependent on the undefined nature?
Yeah. So again, the areas that are undefined are where you take in other people's energy and where you are the most sensitive. And these are often the areas that can take us the most off track, but also where we have the most to learn. And the areas that are defined and colored in are where the energy operates really consistently within you. And so I really encourage people, and I go over this in the blueprint because I think it's so important to kind of really understand the spectrum of each center. So like, what would it look like to be in the shadow of it? Like, what would it be like to be in the wisdom of it? So you can start to learn how to like really take advantage of it. So maybe I'll just give a couple examples based on your design. Is that cool? Just to give people a taste. So like one area in which your energy is meant to be much more consistent is your identity. You've got a very strong sense of self in your design. And so I would say the biggest shadow for you is being really impressionable. It's like taking on everyone else's ideas of who they think you should be and letting that guide you. And the wisdom for you is being really self-assured. It's like, I know my direction. I trust myself. I don't care if anyone else is going in the same direction as me, but I know what feels good for me. And so really kind of keeping an eye on where you feel the most impressionable versus self-assured and knowing that like you're really here to be self-assured and in trust.
That's super interesting to me. I remember I've sent you a question on your Instagram before about this, because I was like, I have a defined center in identity, then why do I often feel so impressionable? Mm. And that's really interesting because I guess I made the assumption that if you have a defined identity center, yeah, that you just know who you are and that's obvious. And also as a 4-1, which they say is like fixed, I was like, how could I be so impressionable if these mm-hmm. two things are true? But being defined in that way doesn't mean you're like set in that way. It means there's a shadow also.
Always. Yeah. And as somebody who has 7 defined centers, understanding those has been so useful. And for you, all the energy around your identity center is totally unconscious, you know? And so it might not be the most conscious thing, but again, like it's just knowing that there is this kind of strong force within you and it's about connecting to it and really trusting that.
I had no idea that also the unconscious piece of this played into it. I'm learning so much.
Yes. And then let me give you an example of an area in which you're sensitive. So you have what we call an open throat center. And so you'll start to notice that if a center is colored in, it's like where something's more consistent. If it's open, it's where things are a bit more inconsistent. And so for you, in terms of your communication, you're not really here to be this like super consistent communicator. We're like, this is my voice. This is how I express. Like you actually have a very fluid way of expressing yourself in your design. You might find that you speak differently based on the scenario, the space, who you're around. And so the biggest shadow for you is like not really trusting that attention will come your way. And so feeling like the need to say something just to be seen and like really plan what you're going to say to be consistent, but it like never quite lands or comes out as you thought it might. And so much of the wisdom for you is sitting back and waiting for the right moment to share. And know that you've got such a gift for tuning into the, like the perfect thing to say at the perfect moment in the perfect way when you release control and just see whatever comes out. And you might find that it really shifts, you know, like on different podcast episodes with different clients and different scenarios. So the shadow for you is very much kind of like an insecure, I've got to say something to be seen. And the wisdom for you is like a security where it's like, I'm trusting and I will speak when I feel inspired to share or when I feel invited in to share. And not because I just feel pressure to talk. And like, I'm just trying to like speak to relieve that pressure.
It's funny to me because I feel like so much of my youth was spent hearing people tell me that I didn't have to say so much and that I was speaking and like almost like it was not landing because I wanted to be heard so much.
Totally.
And so I'm like even seeing this and how it's changed through the last 5 and 10 years based on versus like obviously as a teenager, we're not necessarily in our full wisdom yet, but mm-hmm. it's interesting to see that as a lot of reflection I was getting at that time. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And I've been working with so many kids or parents recently with kids that have the open throat, you know, and like, and there can be tempted to talk a lot because you are just feeling pressure, you know, especially when you're young. And so it's kind of becoming aware of that. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'm going to sit back and wait for the right moment. And like, that's when my communication can be the most powerful.
And so what I'm hearing you say for those who are listening and maybe have their chart pulled up is that the defined, which are in the color, and then the undefined, yeah, which are white, there's going to be different shadows and sensitivities or consistencies and wisdom of each of them, depending on if they're defined or undefined.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I have a workshop that kind of goes through the shadow and wisdom of each, but they'll be different, you know? And so, but again, just because it's defined and it's consistent in no way means that we're leveraging that. And so that's why it's so powerful to kind of understand each center, whether it's open or defined. So we kind of know how to really work with that energy, whether it's inconsistent or consistent.
And in partnership in teams, I hear you're talking a lot about teams and how do you support people around the centers? Like what would you want people to know in their partnerships and in their teams to know about centers?
Oh, it's such a cool area in those contexts, because the areas that are defined are actually where we project out our energy. And so you'll start to look in partnership, like you might have a center where you project out your energy, and then your partner has that center where they're taking in and amplifying all your energy. And so understanding that's really useful. So an example for you, and I have the same one, and I don't know, again, your partner's design, but like an area that we both project out is our emotions. Meaning that if like you and I are feeling great, I'll speak for myself, is like when I'm feeling great, like it feels good to be around me. When I'm feeling low, it's like really doesn't feel good, you know? And my partner is the opposite. He takes in and amplifies all my feelings, you know? And so it's been really useful to understand that dynamic, because he often senses what I'm feeling before I even know it. And it's been useful to kind of be like, oh, those aren't actually my feelings. Like I'm going to take space when I need. So it's been useful to be aware of that dynamic. So I think in relationships, I think what's most useful is understanding where you're impacting one another and how to kind of cultivate awareness of that, so you're not kind of personalizing and taking on things that are not your own.
Yeah. My partner actually has a completely undefined emotional center with no gates. Yes. And she has a defined splenic center with lots of gates, and I have a completely undefined splenic center. Wow. And so we do that dance quite a bit where mm-hmm. I'm like, I feel fine. And she's like, she's like, it's palpable. And my mother, I don't know my mother's design. I really want to find out her birth time, but I haven't yet. I need to ask my grandma. Who I just found is like a quadruple Virgo, or like five Virgo placements or something. And I was like, wow, lots of things make sense now. But I think my mother, I'm like, she has to be a projector with an open emotional center, because she would say to me, and whenever I'm around her, she says to me how she's like, I'm just so exhausted. You're so big. Like, and she's like, I feel so much of what you're feeling. Yeah. Just from you being like in the same space. And she said that to me since I was a little girl, like pay attention to the energy you bring to the space, because it's so impactful. And then learning that I have a defined emotional center and that my moods are obvious, way more obvious than I think that they are. And also not judging that. I'm curious for you as an emotional being, like, did you judge your own emotions before finding this out? Like your moods?
My moods were so unconscious to me, and they're totally unconscious in my design. So I think that like, I was not aware of the impact I was having, you know. It's so interesting, like just hearing that called out so explicitly, you know. I think that I was like, I'm super stoic, no one's going to know, you know, but people know and they feel. I think that I've become a lot more conscious of it, especially with my partner who's so open. So he really is like, Erin, what's going on? I'm like, nothing, I'm great. I'm like, oh shoot, no, I'm not. So I think that like, I've just been, yeah, I think that it's been cultivating awareness of it, and also just like not making myself wrong for it. I think, you know, we talked before we started recording, I shared that like, I'm in like an emotional low today, you know, and it's just like, it's been a thing where it's not like, how can I get out of it? How can I just like, it's just like, okay, I've got to feel my feelings. And like, I know that like, I go on a wave and clarity will be available for me on the other side. And so I think that knowing this about my design has given me so much more permission to just like feel into it and be in it and experience it without trying to like rationalize and make sense of it.
So if someone's looking at their chart, how would they know the difference if a definition was conscious or unconscious? You've mentioned this twice now, and I'm super curious about that.
So if a thing is black in your design, it's something that you're conscious and aware of. If it's red, it means that you're unconscious of it and people see it in you. And so you'll see like around your emotional center, the channel is black. And for me, it's red, two red ones.
Okay. And so the same thing with the identity center, for example, is like, I'm not necessarily conscious to the consistency of my identity, but other people are.
I see it in you. Exactly.
Wow. That's so fascinating. Okay. And that's really helpful, because what is there, nine centers? Mm-hmm. So that would be the case for like the head. There's all of these other ones we haven't spoken to, where that would be the case for many different people in many different areas.
Totally. Yes.
Okay. This is so fun. I'm just like, my brain is like, ting, 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 ting. Things are like, puzzle pieces are connecting.
Oh, good.
And I so hope that people, did you say it's erinclairejones.com/lookup?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you're like listening to this and you're like, I need to visually see, like go there so you can see this. I'm personally a visual person. I like really need to see it. So you've talked a little bit about your authority and my authority being emotional.
Yeah.
Could you go into all of the authorities? Because not everyone's that way.
I know many aren't. So our authority in human design speaks to how we best make decisions. So this is arguably one of the most important pieces, because we're always making decisions, you know, from who to partner with, or, you know, what to work on, or where to live, or all of it. And so if you're an emotional authority, like you and I, it basically means that decisions are meant to be made over time. Clarity comes with time. The best thing that we can do is sleep on it. There are some people that are sacral authorities, and it basically means that they're designed to trust their gut feeling in the moment, which is a very visceral feeling in their belly that will either give them an expansive kind of yes and excitement, or kind of a contraction and a pulling away. For them, clarity comes in the moment. But I will say, unless it's a full-bodied yes for them in the moment, it either means it's a no or not yet. And the most powerful way to help them access that gut response is to ask them specific questions. Like, I think your partner will be a sacral, you know, so asking her like, do you want to go out for dinner or cook at home? You know, like, do you want to do this or this? Like, giving kind of specific options that allow her to be like, that feels right, that doesn't. Have you tried that before?
Yes, it's super actually fun, because she doesn't understand, like, sometimes my first response isn't my real response.
Yeah.
And she'll get her feelings hurt of like, well, your first response was this, because that's actually correct for her, that her first mm-hmm. response in the moment. And we've had to really work on, like, I need time. So like, if I'm a no for something at first, it actually could be a yes. If I just like kind of feel why it was a no and think into it, it might totally change. Same with the yes, might totally change.
Totally.
And for her, it's so clean and it's so clear. And I just think that must be fucking nice.
I know, but I think it's so powerful in relation to understand that difference, because I think you're right. I so feel that too, where it's just like things change for me. My partner's like, what? You were that way. I'm like, I feel differently now.
Yes.
You know? And then there are splenic authorities, which is all about trusting your intuition in the moment, which is different than the gut feeling. The gut is like a visceral feeling in your belly. The intuition is like a quiet knowing. It's like a resonance that you feel, like a whisper that you hear, tingles that you feel, and it like disappears as quickly as it comes. And so I think for these people, my recommendation is very much to cultivate practices or invest in practices that really help you quiet down and hear your intuition. There are ego decision makers, which is basically making decisions based on whether or not your heart is pulling you towards something, and whether or not you really feel motivated to make it happen, whether or not you have the willpower to make it happen, making sure you feel like really taken care of by your decisions. There are self-projected decision makers, which is all about talking things out and letting clarity come through your voice. It's by saying things out loud that you might be like, that feels great, or that doesn't. And then two more, there are mental decision makers, also known as environmental, means they also have to talk things out, but they're really sensitive to their physical space. So being in the right space, talking things out in those spaces. And finally, there are reflectors, and reflectors are designed to give themselves a full 28 to 30 days before they make a big decision to kind of talk things out in that time. I want to just acknowledge that that's not always feasible. And I think what's most important for them is they're making a decision not from a place of pressure or someone else's timeline, but they're really kind of like honoring the pacing and the timing that actually works for them.
Yeah. So it's less about like, well, has it been a full moon cycle in 28 exactly. precise days? And are you rushing to make a choice because you feel someone else's intensity on you?
Totally. And like, maybe you take a job because the pressure's on, and then like a month later, you're like, I don't want to be here. It's like, okay. You know, and honoring that, it's just like the right things for you are the ones that really stay with you, and not the ones that you're just like magnifying for a moment.
Totally. Okay. So as I want to like pull back, because we've done strategy, and we did strategy, right? Strategy and authority are the same thing.
And type and strategy go together.
Okay. Type and strategy go together, and we've done the authority, and we've done defined and undefined. And I feel like those are like, whenever I'm thinking human design, that's where people tend to go. And I'm curious, is there, with starting leaning into this, is there anything that is surprisingly so helpful that people often miss as like a thing that you think is like absolutely magical about human design that aren't these three main things but are super helpful?
I think probably the profile. Because I think the profile is really tactical in terms of how we're designed to like align with our purpose, and also how we're designed to market ourselves, you know? And I know knowing my profile was profound, and yours is like, and I know that you dug into it a little bit before, but like, you know, it's just, it helps us know how to focus our energy. Like, you know, just to give you an example again, like with the one in your profile, it basically means that like, you're going to become like an expert, an authority to kind of like dig deep into things, to kind of build a foundation. Like, and that's so essential to feel successful, is like, I feel like I know what I'm talking about. My foundation is strong, and I can be trusted as an authority. I did a session with somebody yesterday who had a one in her profile, and like, she was at a job where she like felt like she wasn't an expert, you know, and it was just so challenging for her. So I just think for you, having that expertise, that foundation, that authority is so essential for feeling so secure in your life. Do you resonate with that?
Yeah, that feels very true. And I think, you know, people have asked me to do like business consulting for years, and I have just been a hard no for it. And it just was this year that I was like, actually, I am really good at this. And I've been in business for 8 years and I feel confident. And I know people jump into teaching business after one successful year in business. Like I know people do that. It's actually very helpful whenever they do that sometimes, but I could not get myself to do it until I felt totally behind it in every area. And it's been amazing, but I also know that whenever I've done things too soon where I didn't feel like I could back it, that I felt like an imposter and then I self-sabotaged. So it was actually less about people being like, you're not the expert I thought you were. It was like way more about how I felt.
Totally. You know, and then like another piece is, you know, around the fours, and again, it will mean all the different things when they're together, but like that your opportunities are meant to come through your community and the people that you know. Like some people are meant to kind of go out there and impact all the strangers. And like for you, it's just like you might find the most aligned opportunities come when your community's strong, when you're nourishing your relationships, you know, opportunities coming through a friend, through like introduced through a connection, like dating somebody that was a friend first. And so just really choosing to invest in that. And so I think that like, and obviously for so many of us, investing in our relationships is so key, but I think for you specifically, like it is the well of your opportunity. And so it's just so especially important to kind of like nourish your relationships.
Yeah. You know, my team, my business team, we tested out some ads in the last couple months, and it's not that they like were terrible. It didn't ever feel right. And it's like expanding to cold and scaling to cold, which is like ads term for like, these people haven't heard of you before. There's no trust built. And the product offer just didn't do the way it normally does.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? And then I realized like everything that I sell really well is all referral. It's like an underground network of people that no one sees in the shiny public, but is so rich behind the scenes. And remembering that like it comes through relationship actually scares the shit out of me. But yeah. Because it can be so much easier to be like, oh, you just punch in this much money into this many thing and you reach this many people. And that seems to work for people.
It does.
Like, but it doesn't work for me.
Yeah. I mean, I hear that so often with the four. It's just like the referral is so much more juicy and like really creates so much. And so again, it's just like, I think the profile is really useful as a way to help us know how to orient our energy and kind of where to focus.
Yeah. And so is there six total numbers?
There are six total numbers that make up 12 different profiles, but just to kind of give people a taste of the other ones, there are twos. So the ones are the investigators, the twos, if you have it. And when I say the twos, you might look up your profile and you're like a 6-2 or a 2-4. And so you fall in that bucket. If one of your two numbers is a two, then you are a two. It might be unconscious. It might be conscious, but it's present within you. And so the two is very much around just bringing like an innate genius to whatever it is that you do. And the best things for you are the ones that come naturally and easily to you. And also you're a natural hermit. So you're not meant to hermit all the time, but really giving yourself time to kind of pull away. This was so relieving for me to learn about myself. But honestly, all the jobs I've been hired for in the past were just like, came from like, Erin, we just like want you around. I'm like, but why? Like, what am I bringing? And like, it was kind of inexplicable, you know? And I think that this helped make sense of so many of my past experiences and also give myself permission to kind of lean into what came naturally. If you have a three in your profile, it's so much around learning through experimentation, bumping into things, making mistakes, growing from them. And so I really would encourage these people to not shy away from mistakes and seeing it as like your fastest path to kind of growth and wisdom. And knowing that when you share your journey with others, it can be so profound. The things you tried, failed, that learned. Go ahead.
I'm just super curious about the three because every client who has a three in their profile, when they find this out, feel relieved, but also feel very frustrated. Because what I hear from my clients who have a three in their profile is like, well, I want it to be obvious. I want the success to be clear. And I'm just told I'm going to experiment for the rest of my life. And they feel a sense of dread. And so I'm curious with the people you've worked with that have the three, and also you have the six, so you've experienced that three energy. What would your advice be to someone who feels like, oh shit, I'm going to be experimenting forever?
I think that you're not going to be experimenting forever. I think that what I would say is it's going to be more intense early in life. And as you get older, my guess is that probably in your 30s, you're going to become so much wiser about what's worth experimenting on and what's not, you know? And so like it will transform and it will shift. And it does not mean that like, you know, that you're here to fail in any way. It just means that like you learn by doing. Like somebody might be like, hey, like human design is super cool. You're like, don't really believe it until I do it for myself. You know, like you just got to experience the thing to actually know that it works. And like these, my partners are three, so I'm like a little bit biased, but like, I really love being around these people because when they really see failure and like, and mistakes as like a way to learn, like the wisdom they can gather is profound. Like these are the people that you go to, you're like, how do I do this? You know, what do you recommend? Cause they're like, I've tried it. I've learned from it. I've grown from it. So I think that like, I think this is pretty magical. These are probably my favorite people to learn from. And I would just remind you, it's not going to be probably all as rocky and tumultuous as it might be a little bit earlier in life. And it might not be that way. Yeah.
But yeah. So encouraging. To not be like, oh, you're going to be trying and failing. You're like, it's really not about failing. It's about doing, like knowing through doing.
Experiencing. Exactly.
What a different reframe. Because whenever, I mean, you know, people share human design, just like all things through their own lens. And I've like the things I've heard about 4-1 is like, you're on a fixed fate. And if you just, you're going to fall off the train tracks and become broken if you don't listen to your soul. I'm like, oh my God, that is heavy. I think the same is true in some way for, you know, depending on who we learn from and all of these things.
100%.
But it being like, no, it's not about trial and error. It's learning by doing.
Exactly. And by experiencing. And it's just like a reminder that like, and this is what we said at the beginning, is like, this is meant to be a thing that empowers you, not disempowers you or limits you. And so like, if you hear that thing, it's just like, let it go. You know, I can't tell you how many sessions I've come to where someone's like, I'm a generator. They said, I'm just supposed to build like other people's thing, whatever it is. Like I'm a projector. I'm like a non-energy type. Like I actually don't use any of that language. I don't use the language of fixed. Like, I just think that like, it's not very supportive, you know? And again, it will really work for some people, but I think my orientation is like, how can this system be used to empower us and encourage us and make us believe everything is possible and not in a way that kind of limits us or boxes us in.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
And then we've got fives. And so fives are really here to be kind of the problem solvers and the fixers, unconventional, innovative solutions to things. And they really like, they're so practical. And I think the biggest thing for them is to make sure they're solving problems that they actually feel excited to solve, you know, and they're not kind of solving problems that like others are seeking for them to solve. You know, it's really easy for people to kind of see possibility in them and be like, you could do anything. And I think for them to be like, but does that actually make me feel like me? Like, does it actually feel authentic to me? And then finally, I mentioned the six a little bit earlier, you know, I share my own example, but these are really here to be role models and teachers. People that really naturally inspire trust in people, where people kind of like look to them as the authority. And they often live their life in three phases, where the first 30 years, I think I share this, is like experimentation, 30 to 50, kind of investing what works. And 50 is kind of when you're really meant to hit your prime. And I think my biggest reminder is that there's nothing to wait for. It's kind of just meant to keep getting better and better and better.
Can you explain the difference a little bit in more detail about 5 and 6? Because from what I hear, they're both meant to seem and feel like authorities, but it seems like in different ways.
Yes. So the 5 is very much around like, I'm going to come in, offer a solution no one has thought of and check back out. You know, like they really kind of have this like save the day, fixing practical nature. The 6s are really here to inspire others to be their most authentic selves by just being themselves. You know, when the 6s are so fully expressed in their authenticity, it basically kind of really inspires and gives others permission too. And so when I say they're here to be a role model, it's not because they're actually telling anyone what to do at all. They're just living it so fully themselves, but that like that permission can't help but ripple out.
Yeah, I feel that difference. My partner is a 2-5. One of our friends had said, who dabbles in human design, is like, other people are going to see her as like, you can save the day. Like, why? Like, that's in her unconscious. And she's actually consciously a hermit. And is like, I don't feel like that at all. Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting watching her grapple with her own leadership, given this like, hermit savior dynamic that can play unconsciously.
100%. And that's the magic of understanding both of those pieces and kind of knowing how to find balance and knowing they're both part of you.
And so if someone was wanting to look deeper, because you've explained them as individuals, but they pair together in 12 different types.
Ways. Exactly.
Yes. And so where would you recommend someone go, since we don't have time to explore that fully, to learn more about their unique profile?
Combination. Well, I'm obviously biased because I would recommend the blueprint. But the blueprint will, which is a written guide to your design that I make, and that explores the combination between the two, because they each mean different things, you know? And I think it is about the balance. Like, you might have a 2 and a 4, which means like you're a hermit and need community. And it's not like, you know, they're both part of you. Like your work is to not spend so much time alone that people can't find you, but not spend so much time with people that you get totally fatigued, you know? And so for everyone, it's about kind of find that balance of kind of knowing when to hermit for your partner and then kind of go out and save the day and solve and then kind of hermit again. And like, it's just about finding that dance. So, and you can also look up online, you know, I think that I don't often share about the combinations on Instagram because it's a bit more challenging. But if you do some research, you can probably find some on Google as well.
Cool. And so there are so many things. I'm like, goodness, now I fully understand, like, and we're moving quickly and there's so much more.
I know.
So I really encourage people to go get their blueprint from you and to really look it up, to not just see the visual, but to understand the specifics of what you're saying and how it relates specifically to them. I'm wondering, you know, there is a number of different things that I've heard people like play around with human design. And one of them is vision. One of them is eating styles. One of them is environment. And I thought whenever I first read vision, or I think it's, is it vision or is it,
inner
maybe
vision.
That's just inner vision. Maybe that's mine. Yeah. I thought certainly I had outer vision. I just like guessed. And learning about what would that be categorized under? Like where would someone, do you know what I'm talking about? The name?
I do. It's called cognition.
Cognition. Yes.
And yeah. And it's just, it's a deeper layer. So if you look up your chart, you will actually not see it.
Mm.
So it's a deeper layer and it's a layer that's underneath the top left arrow around your head.
And would that be the same as like the food and eating styles, the environment, cognition, and then specific and non-specific manifestor? Are those all of those, are they all stored in the same? Would they get that in their blueprint?
Those pieces, no.
Okay,
And only because it's so not the first piece that I recommend people diving into. Mm-hmm. If you dive into it too early, it's just like, it can feel like you are trying to make it happen, but it doesn't happen very organically. Once you've been experimenting with your design for a bit, all those open and defined centers, the channels, the profile, it really is like those things are going to make so much more sense.
Right.
And I think that it's really easy because there's so much information in human design to get a little bit overwhelmed by it. And you start getting like really heady about it. And I think the magic of human design is that it's very much here to be like an experimental embodied system. And if you like inundate yourself with too much at once, you aren't going to play with any of it, you know? And so I do think it's like a one piece at a time kind of thing.
Totally. So your recommendation, I mean, after listening to this, I'm sure everyone's desire is going to be piqued.
Yeah.
And I have the link in the show notes to get the blueprint and to do the lookup if they haven't already done that and to dive deeper. I'm curious one way that you feel that no matter where someone is at if in their journey with this, if they're at the place where they like know their cognition and know all of the words, which I clearly don't, or they're just like, they're Googling their birth time to get their first report.
Yeah.
What would you recommend would bring someone into deeper alignment with their soul through this journey?
In using human design?
Mm-hmm.
I think honestly, whether or not you choose to dig deeper into human design, I think just the reminder that you're here to do it differently in terms of how you build your business, how you partner, how you parent, all the things, and just giving yourself that permission, you know? And I think that probably what will give you the most permission in human design specifically is knowing your type and your authority, like really knowing like, what is that thing within you that you can trust to make decisions that are right for you every single time? And how are you designed to use your energy in a way that's actually sustainable for you? You know, and like just honestly aligning with those two pieces can create so much transformation and alignment within you. But again, it can be a lot. And so I think that like, it really is just the permission to like do things in a way that works for you and trusting that when you do that, you will create the most kind of aligned opportunities and relationships and experiences in your life.
So beautiful. And so I'm curious just to ask you a couple personal questions about it before we wrap is like, what is your absolute favorite thing about teaching people about human design?
I think my favorite thing, and also I meant to mention, I'm happy to create a discount code for the blueprint for your audience if you like.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Okay, great. Do you have a word that you like to use?
Let's use Everything Belongs, just the name of the podcast.
Perfect. Okay, great. That's the discount code. So my absolute favorite thing is that human design reminds people and returns people to who they are. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not going to tell them what they're going to do with their lives, but I think like I will remind them how to connect to that thing within themselves so they know their next step. So I think the fact that it like keeps giving the authority back to the person is the thing that I love most.
Yeah, that it's not a system to tell them how to be, but inspire them to live what's already aligned.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. That's certainly whenever I hear anything about my design, it feels like, oh my God, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Like I knew that and I was just trying to be someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and the magic of human design is not about telling us anything new. It's just giving us a language and a framework to kind of understand what we already know.
Beautiful. And I have some rapid fire for you, okay. But before we do that, I want to know if there's anything that you wish you could have gotten into today or said that you want people to know.
I mean, I think that we covered a lot. I just think that my last reminder is that like, it's not only useful to understand yourself, but like, as we talked about with your partner, but to understand your partner, your kids, your colleagues, your friends, your parents, like it really helps us in relationships by kind of giving us a language to understand how different we are. So definitely encourage people to dive into that if they're curious.
So good. Okay. Let's do some rapid fire. Erin, okay. What is your spiritual background?
My spiritual background. I think that I have always been, you know, exploring different modalities and different ways of understanding myself since I was young. Like I grew up in Seattle and was looking like for Shambhala centers in high school. My parents were like, what are you doing? So I think that like, I've just explored so many different things. And I think for me, it's so much around just cultivating a deeper connection to myself and also just to everything beyond, you know? And so there are a lot of modalities that have taken me there, but it definitely feels like it's always been part of me. And it wasn't like it woke up at a certain point. Like it's been there since I remember.
I have a feeling I might know the answer to this next one, but how do you know when you know?
I can't explain it. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I just want it. It just feels right. And it feels really cool and calm. And it doesn't feel like there's fear or energy or like excess around it. It's just like, this just feels right.
I like the texture of cool and calm. Yeah. Like that feels really good to me.
Well, you're similar in your design.
Yes. I'm like, yes, cool and calm. That's how it feels. Yes. Like there's a cleanness to it. Yeah, it's like no big.
Yeah.
What identities have you had to let go of to own your fullness today?
Oh my gosh. What identities? I think that I've tried on a lot, especially in my 20s, you know, I was very experimental. I think that like, it's been around, I mean, one is very much like, I think that I had identity for so long of just being like everyone's best friend and like kind of making sure everyone was okay. And I love taking care of people. And also I think that I've really had to learn how to take care of myself and show up from like a more sustainable place. I think that's been a big one. And I think it's also just been not attaching to any of the identities too intensely. You know, I think that I've tried on so many, and I think that where I am right now is like, I play in all of them, but I'm also not attached to them. And that just feels a lot better.
Yeah. It kind of seems like your methodology, even with human design, like take up what feels good and leave the rest.
Totally. You know,
I love that. Mm-hmm. What are you most enjoying learning right now?
Well, I shared with you that we just moved upstate, and we live next to a horse sanctuary, and my partner's so into it and there every day. So I think that I'm most learning about horses and really kind of cultivating a connection to them and building trust and learning how to show up in a way that really supports them.
Yeah. Goodness. I feel like horses will show you yourself.
Oh my God. Biggest mirrors. We were feeding them this morning. I was like anxious. My partner was like, and they will be too. And I'm like, okay. Okay. So yeah, it's such a powerful mirror. They all are.
What does grace mean to you?
I think grace is just, to me, it feels like just around showing up so fully and honestly. You know, I think that it is around being honest and just like fully expressed in whatever form. I think that I used to feel grace in a way that was inauthentic. And I just feel like grace just feels like being present with whatever is and showing up with wherever we are, you know, with all that we've got.
Beautiful. What's your go-to coffee shop order?
Cashew latte.
Oh, we don't have that milk where I live at very many places. Oh my gosh. My I actually don't think I've ever had that.
Oh, especially when it's homemade. Oh my God.
Well, I guess I could make it myself. I've made vegan cashew cheese before, so I assume it's easier than that.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
The last question is, what do you want?
I'm actually just going to quote my partner here because one of my favorite things that he says is he says, now I'm going to forget the exact words, but it's something like, I wish to be who I'm with, want what I have. And there's one more. But I think the wanting is very much just being present with what I've already created and being available for what's to come, but, you know, in a place that is just an enjoyment. And I think that's been like a big lesson for me in the past couple of months of just like really enjoying it all and giving myself that permission.
I love that. I'm going to adopt that as well.
I know. I'll remember the third and give it to you.
Yes, please do. Because, you know, it is one of those years for me. And I know we both jumped on being like, oh, like kind of in a lower mood today or lower energy today. And it's a strange thing having everything you want and being like, oh, this is how it feels. And I'm not as grateful for it as I thought that I would be.
Mm-hmm. Right. And unless I cultivate that now, you know, it's just like then the next thing. And I just think that I feel like I've always been in such a hustle mode where it's just like, this is amazing what I've created. What if I just enjoy this and like allow the next thing to come when it comes? So I think that that's so the opposite of the way that I've been operating, but it feels so much better.
Mm, that's beautiful. Well, Erin, this has been so fun. And so fun. I know that like, this is literally the tip of the iceberg of what we could have spoken about today.
Truly. Yes.
And so everyone, please go get your blueprint and look at your design. Is there anything else you want to say before we close?
I'm just so grateful for you, to you for having me. Thank you so much. This is such a pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in to Everything Belongs. With the number of podcasts and content online and a very full life, I know the value of your attention, and I'm so grateful for every minute you spend listening to this show and having these conversations reverberate through your home, your car, and in your life. Thank you so much. If you loved this episode, please subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app so others might find this podcast. You can find the show notes for every episode on my website and find more out about today's guest by going to madisonmorrigan.com/podcast. And if you want to find a place to get started with my coaching work, the best place to do so is to download the Call Your Energy Back practice. It is a free journal guide and short hypnotic meditation to help you get into a daily routine of connecting to yourself so that you can take up all of your rightful space, embody your wholeness, and live with the power that comes when you really belong to yourself. You can go to madisonmorrigan.com/energy-back to download it right now. This meditation uses binaural beats, the brilliance of your subconscious mind, and powerful coaching questions to release the energy and emotions of other people, to generate a field of protection all around you, and will leave you feeling full of your true self, powerful, worthy, and whole. Now, if you're not already, please come and hang with me over on Instagram, DM me, and let me know your favorite part of this episode. And until next time, remember that curiosity can be a portal to a life where everything belongs.